Let's get started. Hi, my name is Carl. I think you know by now, Carl Anderson, President of the Board. Thank you for coming. We'll do quick introductions. A lot of you know these people up in front, but introductions of where we come from and our names. And you know, if you have any particular thing you're doing on the board, let them know that too. I'm Carl from Salem, Oregon.
Oz Matsutani from Anchorage.
Lola Dean from Shaw Island, Washington.
Pam Pekencher from Northfield, Minnesota.
Stacy Chubala from Naperville, Illinois.
Hans Johnson from the back porch of Shelley 10.
Not from Vancouver, BC.
Darius Larson from Big Sky, Montana, and that's a commute town.
Rob Cola from Kirkland, Washington, on the Treasury Board.
Ann Cohan from Seattle.
Anthony Titus from Eagan, Minnesota.
Christy Eisensee from Bellevue, Washington.
Lois Rimbaud from New York, and I am the Secretary of the Board.
Mark Schwain from Belford, Indiana.
Linda Kingery from Minnesota.
I'm Nora Gallegos. I was born in a village in Mexico, raised in Kansas, and now in Wyoming.
Sarah Pitcher, Chicago.
Kathy Blanco, or Cottage Grove, in Wisconsin.
Josh Post, Seattle, Washington, and I'm the Vice President.
There you have it. So again, thanks for coming tonight. What I want to do is just, I'll share briefly kind of what we've been maybe experiencing, the process we've been using during our board meeting, and then the topics. And then we'll open it up for questions, and maybe after each of these sections, experiences, processes, and topics, we'll see if anybody, you know, wants to correct me or add. But then again, I hope we can do this initial thing in 15 or 20 minutes and then get questions from y'all about what we've been doing. But the reason I wanted to break it up into these three sections is because the topics were really different from the experiences this week. And so with the experiences, and I think the experiences are related to what all of you folks have experienced too, especially with people in the village all this time. We've been experienced having four directors, which is unique. We have all had experience thanking Chuck and Steph, and welcoming Chuck and Peg, and putting them in their place. And all of us too, kind of reorienting what we're doing. For guests next year, a little less Rio involvement, new work with our new directors, which is different, reorientation, and the idea of a museum, and the idea of upgoing upgrades and maintenance during all of that time in the future. At the same time as we are wearing ourselves out this summer with everything we're doing right now. So that experience, We all experienced some of that together, and I think we got a taste of it for a week. You've been experiencing and feeling it for a lot longer than we have. And what's different, though, is I think we sat for 5 days, and you continue to work really hard. And we're all kind of tired, but that's kind of shared exhaustion too a little bit. So, is that kind of fair? I mean, I'm just thinking, I mean, we did all those things, and it's a really different board meeting and experience than it often is just because of the change of directors.
I would add that we also entered into a space where we were aware of how little housing there is for folks, so we're really grateful to your creativity to find space for us to be with you this week.
Yeah, that was real. We know how hard that was for you, and we all thank you for that. So that's kind of the experience thing. The other processes, what we spend a lot of time in meetings and stuff like that, but a lot of the processes we used were a couple hours with Chuck and Steph and the managers on Friday. So hearing reports and listening to how people are doing and hearing the perspectives of the managers and Chuck and Steph. And then Chuck and Peg on Monday morning, and the managers again for an extended period of time. And I thought we had an especially good time with the managers, Q&A, and hearing from them, hearing pretty transparent stuff about how things are going here in the village. We had quite a bit of time this morning listening to Chuck and Peg talking about some of their visions for the future and how they think about it and the way they're going to share that with you relatively quickly this week, I think. So we got a little foretaste of that. And I think just I'd let you say that we are pretty aligned with what they're saying and pretty excited about it. And we expect you to be too and hope you are too. And we had lots of committee work that prepared us to be more efficient when we were all sitting in this room. So Sunday, we were running around in groups of 4, 5, 6, 7, and that sort of thing. So that's part of the process too, that we're trying to get our committee structures in place so we can be more efficient. So that's a process thing, but it's a part of what we're doing and the way we're thinking about our work. Is that about right? Okay, so topics. And these are in no particular order. I think the most important topic, the most important thing was our experiences of thanking Chuck and Steph, welcoming Chuck and Peg, and all of those sorts of things that we did with you. But the topics themselves, not in any order. But one topic was, what does it mean to be open in 2016? We were charged with helping Chuck and Peg think about that. And we had a little exercise that was kind of fun where we all wrote down what that meant to us. And we're handing it to them, and that's their job. And we keep our noses in and fingers out, so we're presenting that to them and letting them think about that, and we'll listen, you know, add our advice to the degree we want. So that was a piece of it, pretty exciting look ahead, fun topic. We talked about finances. We accepted a clean audit. So for all of you who are a part of doing that, thank you. And Scott helped us get that, and then he, you know, headed down the mountain today. But that's a huge piece of what we need to do, is watch the financials of the organization. And then we reviewed where there are some variances from budget. Where are we, you know, behind, where we're ahead. And the good news is that where we're behind and where we're ahead right now kind of even out. So we're feeling okay about this year right now. We talked, of course, a lot about mine remediation in Rio, both in our big session and the executive committee with Chuck and Peg, where we could talk a little more detail and strategically about negotiations and stuff with Rio. But I think we got to a point where we have some next steps for what we need to do there and feel as comfortable probably as we could at this point. We talked about the idea of the museum. And some of you were here in February where we all sat and listened to presentations on the museum. And what we did this time, we all got aligned and up to date on where everything is. And just so you know, I think we're going to be aiming for a November decision on, and at a time when we can approve some sort of museum building. Or our, you know, our first stage of approval for that. The three things we're going to do, spend the most time on between now and then, will be one, finances. We're going to, or Chuck and Steph are planning to hire a fundraising expert.
Chuck and Peg.
How many times am I going to do that? They have a pool. Chuck and Peg will. Chuck and Peg are planning to hire a financial fundraising guru, for lack of a better term, and that person will really help us think through how much money we can raise and spend on a museum like that. Somebody outside of our expertise that can tell us if we're crazy or tell us what we need to do to do the job better and things like that.
One thing on that, just to step in on it, because there was concern, we're not trying to build that museum next year. Because earlier the people, oh no, how are we going to add this on next year? That's not happening next year. So I just think that's
important. Three areas: one, fundraising; two, facility use. You know, it's tough to really build that building. It's the last one we'll probably be able to build, you know, at Holden Village. So we really, really need to know what we need to use it for. looking at the rest of the buildings all around the Holden Village and thinking through what we really need as a part of that museum. So facility use. The third area is energy. How much energy does it really need? How much do we really have? Are there other creative ways of getting energy? If we found some more energy, would that be the first place we should use it? You know, so questions like that. So again, that's where the museum is right now. You can ask more questions about that in a little bit. Fundraising. What I'd say we did on fundraising is streamline and clarify roles and responsibilities and kind of who's going to do what, when, and we have a pretty good plan that just made us feel more comfortable, I think, that we have our ducks in a row in terms of going forward. I don't think we're doing anything huge right out of the chute, but we're going to do things like thank the people who came last weekend. Mm-hmm. We're going to call them. Chuck and Peg will write them a letter. So those are some things right out of the chute, but then we have plans for the rest of the fall and into early next year.
And the other thing I'd like to add is the other big thing, the big thanks to you guys is all the work that's been done on Razor's Edge. Mm-hmm. Using it, getting good data into it, cleaning it up, you know, yeah. That's really what will drive our fundraising and start, you know, our interaction with the greater community going forward.
And the introduction of Maestro, it will be a new thing where you can use a credit card, and people don't use money. We still use money, like paper money, you know. But, I mean, the kids don't even use money anymore, checks. Everybody, you know, and so we sort of have to change our own heads about. And, you know, online registration, all that kind of stuff that you would expect from an organization that has some sophistication.
Yeah. Some of you maybe don't know Holden Village has a foundation. And it's something we haven't really paid attention to for a while. So we are looking at ways of making that more purposeful, updating it and making it more useful, managing the money maybe a little more carefully and a little more frequently and things like that. So we put in place a process to work on that over the next year as well.
We found that Narnia does not have a foundation.
We formed one.
We also have a lot.
We re-elected Josh and Lois to their positions of VP and secretary, but we also recognize that in 2 years, between 4 and 10 of us would be going off the board. Theoretically.
One year.
Next year.
Next summer.
So if everybody chose to leave, we'd elect 10 new people to the board, half of it. If everybody chooses to stay who can't stay, we will elect 4 new positions. So we're gearing up for a pretty challenging election next year for board members. And you can keep that in mind, too, and be thinking of people who you think would be good to serve on this board.
And typically, that has not been the pattern in previous years, but we've gone into a new term structure for board where it used to be that someone was eligible to serve 2 6-year terms. We have a new group of people in going forward that are able to serve up to 3 4-year terms. So we both have 6-year term people and 4-year term people right now. So that's why it's a larger number.
A few other things quickly. Technology. We have this new idea, or at least a kind of an analogy that we're going to, I think, use with Chuck and Peg. And that is, one or the other group, either the board or they, will define a bit of a target. And then we'll share it with either the board or the back to them and throw darts at it a little bit and provide feedback and then share it at the end. And I think they're going to express it better than I am, but with you too. Show a concept, get feedback, you know, move forward with the concept a little bit further, get more feedback, and then make a decision. So on technology specifically, and that's, you know, internet around the village and everything, I think they're going to run this. In November, they'll probably share a concept of what they're thinking. I'm sure they're going to get feedback from you all along the way.
From everybody here.
Everybody here. And they have some ideas, and they're getting more all the time. But by November, they'll come to the board meeting in Everett and share their ideas with us, and we'll give them feedback, and they'll probably come back and implement it, you know, as they, you know, as they see fit. So that's how we're thinking about the technology idea. The board's not going to sit down and create a, you know, the policy around, for internet around this place. It's going to be driven by them. We'll get a chance to provide feedback. I'm sure you guys will.
Excuse me. When you say them, I can't see who you're pointing to.
I'm pointing at Chuck and Peg.
Yes, oh, because them.
Oh, them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
According to them.
Yeah, exactly. We're just starting to talk a little bit about culture, both between within the board, between the board and Chuck and Peg, and within the village and back and forth. The main thing we talked about there was transparency. So that's something that I think you'll hear talked about. What does it mean? What are examples of where it feels good? What are examples of where it doesn't feel good? Where do I feel like I don't have information? And so expect a little bit more on that, I think, as we talk to Chuck and Peg. That's something they care about. It's something we care about. I think the only two other things, a little bit, staffing and Chuck and Peg's staffing plan. Like I said, we got a bit of an update on that. The executive committee got more detail about that. That's an area where it's great to work together. I think we're building trust already in terms of talking about that. And I think I can say that we feel pretty good about the way they're thinking about that. And we'd like to say that publicly. Mm-hmm. So we feel good. And maybe the last thing that we are going to work on with the directors are kind of our rhythms of communication. You know, how often do they want to provide a report to the board? When does the board think they need information from them? How many times are we going to meet on the telephone? How many times should one of us get up here and be with you all in the village and things like that? So that's work in progress and something they and I mostly will be doing over the next several weeks. What did I forget? I
mean, who's on the executive board?
Yeah, executive committee. It's us. Treasurer, VP, and secretary.
Why don't you say people's names for the recording sake?
Yes.
So, Rob Quello, I'm the treasurer.
Josh Post, vice president.
Lois Rimbo, secretary.
Yeah. So it's the four of us that just meet with the directors a little bit more. We'll be providing them, you know, feedback from the board. They'll be providing us feedback about how we can be more helpful to them and all sorts of things like that. All right. Unless somebody wants to tell me something I missed.
I just want to give a shout out to all the managers, Chris and Mark RB and John. And when the time that you guys spent with us was really valuable to me. I'm not a person that knows the operations of the village, and I was so interested to hear about that. And I thought, to a person, everyone's report was easily accessible and understandable, and also gave us a really good understanding of what you're doing. And I know that I couldn't do it.
Maybe you all should know. I asked them, you know, what they were most proud of in the last year or so, that what accomplishment. And they really didn't say what the biggest accomplishment was. What they were, I keep looking over at Chris because you're right there. But what they felt best about is
the yellow shirt, exactly.
The guy in the yellow shirt. But it was how they accomplished it, the teamwork. Working with these people makes us fun instead of stressful. And just all sorts of comments like this. So we all sat here, you know, we thought we might have an hour conversation, but we went two full hours and we could have gone longer with that group. So I echo what you said, but I loved their answers to that question because it really brought up the teamwork around here and things like that.
He's the only one that did everything and made it invisible, okay, and then covered it up, and he did it and then covered it up, but then we got to see it as we came into the village with the rain spouts, you know, going all over it. It works.
I'm still bent out of shape because I didn't get to spray my electrons.
We are glad. Penny, that's what cool.
You spraying electrons it just means work for me.
See, this teamwork? What questions do you have?
Roy Santrick. A month ago, Dorothy and I went to a museum in Chicago, and it was quiet. It was a place that was guarded by guards. And people walked around and looked. Oh, really? I would think not. A place like that for Holden Village. I would like a raucous area where people are engaging one another in the village and looking out to the future, inviting engagement outside. Not an in-house mission, but an outhouse. An outhouse mission. Museum. Resource center. We had too many of those. That meant that. Engagement. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what we've been talking about, but I don't know who is the, maybe Lola starts, and then, but
yeah.
Finding the right words to describe that engagement is...
Right. This is really a process at this point, Ray, and I can't ever imagine any project that we do at Holden being quiet and guarded. The goal is to have an interactive process where we can remember what we've had, looking at the future, and being able to celebrate the environment in which we live. It's the history of the mine and the mining people and the remediation, those stories. So people who haven't been here during this can see what has happened. The history of Holden Village, us as Holden Village of the last 52 years, what this Lutheran group has been doing and where we came from and what that's been done. And then the third is this big piece of the environment in which we live here and helping people to understand that, respect it, and learn from it. So it'll be very interactive and it'll be a place that people can learn and learn and more learn. But the other thing about this museum building, the way it has been designed, and I think those, if any of you were here in February, you might remember this design, which was quite exciting to a lot of us, is to be put over beyond Narnia. And it has a big porch that goes all across the front that faces Narnia. And that whole big area between Narnia and the museum will become a village green, where we can gather, we can have celebrations, we can have games, we can do what, it's just another meeting place for the Holden people. And we would love to get any ideas you have about the museum, so please talk to me.
One of the things, though, that we were talking about the facilities task force, is to look at what this building will be beyond just beyond the museum. In the museum will be section of it, there may be meeting rooms in it, there may be other spaces in it, and other uses, and other parts of it that are used for beyond just museum purposes.
It won't be static, I can guarantee you that.
So the title of the building is fixed?
Yes,
museum.
I should. Well, we're replacing. And the way this, when we do the application for the building, it will be done by Rio, because it's part of the CERCLA, which all of you who went on the tour got the understanding of that. So it's an obligation of Rio Tinto to replace the museum.
Roy, what it may be called initially, and what it gets known as, like many other buildings here.
Right.
Right? May not always be the same. I mean, we've got
you're
a lot.
Lodge 5.
Right?
Yeah.
Narnia is usually referred to as Narnia, not the school, right?
Yeah. Lodge 5.
So it's different.
Agape, you know. So
right.
We don't always have
right. We're sitting in Lodge 5, exactly. So.
Because it's called a museum, it's really more of a multi-purpose facility. I'm the one that's speaking here. And the thing is that there'll be concerts and drama and various other things, classes. So, you know, this is, I think, the idea behind this is to
and as
really
an old house, there will be lots of bells and smells.
But I think Roy, the point is we couldn't agree with you more. Mm-hmm. And we have to figure out how to not make it come across as being just a museum. No. Anybody else? You know, if there's no immediate questions, be thinking of some. But James, I wonder if you want to share a little bit of the latest on your experience. Like,
yeah, so I'm doing a fundraiser for Holden right now called Hiking for Holden. And so I'm hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. And many folks that are doing that will go out to communities that they know and raise funds for themselves to, you know, take on that endeavor. And so instead of raising funds for myself, I've been raising funds for Holden Village, asking people to maybe sign up for $1 a mile or something like that. And so that's kind of led to our goal, which is about $26,000, a little more than that, because that's how many miles the trail is, 2,668 miles long, and it goes from the Mexican to Canadian border. And so right now, just a little update on that, we're a little bit over $6,000 raised. Is Laura here? I should probably give the exact number. But, and so that means that we're a little bit behind the pace that we're shooting for. So where I got off the trail to come up here for the meetings and the installation, I left around 1,100. So we're a little bit short, and so I'll be, you know, pushing a little bit more to different constituencies. And if you'd like to tell anybody about it, I'd very much appreciate that. And then there's a Facebook page also, called Hiking for Holden, and so that's, you know, facebook.com/hiking4 Holden. And then that links back to the Holden webpage where people can, if they'd like to support me, they can support the village through that. And so, you know, none of the money is touched by me, so it's all still tax deductible. That's the endeavor.
James, tell them where you're going after, you know, when you start up again.
Where
you start.
Where are you? Yeah, so, right, 1,100 miles doesn't mean a whole lot.
Right.
So I got off the trail at Echo Lake, which is a lake near Lake Tahoe. So I just hitched a ride into town and then took some buses up to Reno and flew up here. And so I'm intending to go right back to where I left off.
And you go from south to north.
Correct, yeah.
You'll be hiking through this area later this summer.
When do you anticipate?
October, November, I think?
So, hopefully before November.
You'll have to be greeting him as he goes over
there.
So hopefully, I was actually just talking with Chuck and Peg about this, and hopefully as I come through here, I'll be able to stop by Holden. A lot of people hiking from Sahikan or Spider Gap, but who hikes them from Mexico, right? So that should be mid-October.
Yeah.
Go out of fun. Really cool.
Thank you for doing that.
It's exciting.
What else?
So, Carl, on your list of things, I didn't hear any, and maybe you can't share these yet, anything about dealing with the mining company. There's still a lot out there that needs to be negotiated.
I think it's fair to say, I mean, we talked a lot about it, and we, you know, Chuck and Peg and I and Jan and everything, we have had a chance. But I think there's a couple next steps that we know for sure. Chuck and Peg are going to get out and talk to Tom Newland and spend quite a bit of time probably out there with Jim, you know, this week while he's here until July 4th. Tom, I spoke to Dave Klein a couple days ago before I came, and I just committed to him we were going to figure this out as quickly as we can, you know, how we're going to move forward with the negotiating. And I committed that the executive team, at least of the board, is going to be more engaged than we've been before, so that'll be a part of what we do. Probably one of us will try to get to, you know, every face-to-face meeting so we can demonstrate commitment and that sort of thing too. But I think the first thing is just catching up with Tom Newland.
Carl, can you tell people who that is? Tom, might not know.
Jim Hushagen is the village attorney, and Tom Newland is an attorney. There's Jim right there. And Tom Newland is an attorney who's been working with us for decades.
Yeah.
Well, he started during Janet and Diane's time, so that would have been in the
15 years ago.
Yeah.
His specialty is environmental law.
Yeah. So he's really familiar with this stuff and is a really helpful strategic voice in the process.
If he comes up and he's playing a banjo, that's probably the right the guy.
Or juggling.
Chris, I want to be sure. We heard you and others that time's of an essence, and pressure and focus on that is important, and that will happen.
Yeah. The other thing that I'm going to do as quickly as I can, but I'm going to make sure this letter is right, is I owe Dave Klein a letter. Know what's going to happen from this point out with our negotiating team, and I want to be strategic about that too. You know, and just be thoughtful about how we go ahead with that process.
We also heard you about being active in the process so that we all have some kind of sense of control of what's happening in this valley, so that we can manage it and deal with it and be there at the table with them and let them know what our wishes are.
So, what kind of time span are these contracts looking, are you negotiating for?
Well, you know, we think that whatever it takes to do it the right way. We recognize that we need a plan for 2016 with them, and Chuck Carpenter started that process, and we think we're in a pretty decent spot. But we also recognize that there's a subtle connection between that and other things that we want longer term. And I don't want to really get into that, but it gets pretty nuanced, and that's where I think it just is a good idea for our executive directors to go spend a morning with them.
And we recognize, and it has been announced, that there will be guests in our valley with us next year. So we'll have guests and programming as well. Where those numbers exactly work out, where that all happens on dates, that's still in discussions.
Carl, I think without giving away any secrets, we have an access agreement with Rio Tinto, which goes through the anticipated end of the active remediation, which is about 2020. And then the lease with regard to the kind of facilities that they're going to use are done a year at a time.
Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
The other thing too is that they're building a fairly substantial utility that is going to have to be, that whole process is going to have to be worked on in the future. So it's not ended.
Anything else? Yeah.
How do you envision growth for Holden? I've been thinking, I mean, not just going back to before Rio Tinto, before mining remediation, moving forward into maybe something different. So how does that look grows physically, we cannot really grow here in the village. We cannot put more buildings up, more accommodation. So what would we see as growth? Is it maybe a wider community out in the world? Or a more expensive education plan? Or what? What is it? Yeah. Because I think we need to grow, even if we cannot grow out of our buildings. Without growth, there is stagnation. So how do you see that holding being vibrant and always kind of perking up?
And that's my quick answer to that would be wait for Chuck and Peg to share. They shared their
CSCS creation weights.
That's right. I'm waiting too. I think we all wait. That's going to be.
But we heard a lot of their ideas, and we like a lot of their ideas, both the content of their ideas and how they would plan to maybe implement them and work with all of us on them. And I mean, I'd really rather have them hear those ideas from you than us. So.
Okay.
But just to know again that we were aligned in it and
tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So come back.
We're not going to wait for very long.
Yes. But, you know, there's a whole lot of ideas that have been coming from within the staff, you know, ways to better engage the backpacking community and you know, provide facilities, get more people coming through here, and then all sorts of, with the reconstruction of the Riverside, how can we make that more accessible and more as a service to the community? And there's all these kind of ideas coming through that are great, and that's, growing organically like that is really going to be what's going to be done.
What do you anticipate for this coming winter with the water treatment plant, and what's their presence going to be over the season? Because I'm envisioning that the snow will shut down the exterior, but there's still going to be a process there. Do we have a commitment to how many of them we're going to house or how that's going to work?
I personally, Chris maybe, or Mark, or Peggy?
Yeah, everything is changing. Everything's a movable target. Tonight, we're talking to Ben about how many people did he think could possibly be up working on the water treatment plant. And he said maybe 40
Ooh.
To 50.
Wow. All year?
What? Just any interior.
In the winter.
Yeah. Sure, December is what
so
we said.
To me that says any, 20, it could be 20.
Yeah,
so
that's a big number.
I don't think until they get those walls up and see what they really need to do that they're
Getting the walls up is the trick, though. We know that much, but that's the latest. Then.
And once it's enclosed, how many people would get it?
Friday at the
moment. Yeah. Next week.
I was running a tournament, so I came late, so we already talked about this. Feel free to tell me and talk to you after. And I don't know if this is a board thing or a technical thing, but how are we preparing those who are coming back to Holden, who come as guests for the changes that they will see, or for, two lodges being filled with non-guests.
So I'll start with this. I've been coming to Holden pretty much every summer since 1960, or since every year, at least once since 1968. So I've got a long track record and a ton of friends and family with a really long track record. Lola's even longer than that. And there's going to be a understanding with the people that hear that there's been the analogy that was used is there's a surgery and we're not done healing yet. But just like when your loved one goes into surgery and comes out of surgery, you want to go visit them when they're still in the hospital, even if they're not completely healed. The people that are coming back here understand we're not completely healed.
Yeah.
And they're going to understand that. And we don't know what exactly things are going to be, what, quote, open means. So some of that needs to be determined. But they're going to understand that it's not exactly what it was. It will never be exactly what it was. Because Holden is never exactly what it was the year before and never has been exactly
right.
What it was the year before. And so the people that are going to come back, they're going to have some understandings. It's not the same, and we know it's not the same, but yet it's never been the same. And it's still a process that's going on, and they'll know that.
And the visitors that are coming will be a part of the new healing.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that's interesting, we're going to be calling all of the board, is going to be talking with all the people who came on Saturday, because a lot of those folks were old Golden. And one of the things that I asked a couple of the bus drivers, I said, well, what did people say when they were on the tour? I said, did they notice that the mill was gone? I mean, so far, it looks like they didn't notice. And so we're anxious to hear what that group's response is going to be to having been here. And as Rob said, Holden is different for each group. It's different for the people whenever you have come here. And what they come for is the life here. And that's the thing that is so important for next summer, is what's going on here in terms of program, in terms of Holden. And that's that little mystery that Peg and Chuck are going to be right on top of. And all of you are too, and we're all going to be here to help you.
I think that's true. I think there will be people who come back and are really excited. I think there will also be, I think we do need to be prepared, and I'll give an example right from this room. There were people who were really upset when the captain's chairs weren't in this room. So
where were they?
We used the blue chairs when we were fitting more people in. I think there will be a large percentage who will come back and will be glad to be back at Holden, but I do think that there will be people who are going to be upset that the mill structure is gone and that,
of course,
that the carpet is not that red carpet.
Right.
Each one's going to have its own.
They didn't have time to look up.
But there's another thing too that was somebody brought to us, and that was just so startling to those of us who've been coming here for a long time, and that is, there are many of your age that this is the Holden you've known as your first Holden. Mm-hmm. And that was just amazing for us to even consider, that you don't know the old Holden that we knew. And so each person who comes has their own Holden.
I think it's also...
Go ahead.
That when I think about how I came to Holden in 1998 for the first time, it was because of relationships with other people who told me about Holden, and that it wasn't some random that I just walked by. I mean, some people that does happen to, but I think that all of us in this room and others being able to tell the story and be in relationship with people and tell them, yeah, even though this has changed, this is what has been so great in the last year. Those stories will hold so much power as we go forward.
Kathy?
But I still want to think about what Cindy is saying, because when you drive up that road and you see those big open expanses where there were trees before, and where you see a quarry where there was monkey bear fallen on the floor. If you are familiar with this valley and you see all the stuff on the tailings from the far end all the way down there, you go to the ballpark and it's not ballpark anymore. There can't help but be some grief that I think has to be recognized, and I think Chuck and Peg are completely geared up for that, and that's frankly one of the reasons that they were selected for this position.
Yeah. One other, I'll share some feedback with all of you that I shared with them today from the board, and that is, we don't want you, I'm talking to Chuck and Peg, to think you need A pluses in like 20 different things. And so it's kind of prioritize what you really want to do well, and with the team, do those things well. Everything doesn't have to be perfect, everything doesn't have to be done, and then create help people have the right expectations when they come up. And I think it's doable that we'll be able to do that.
One of the exciting things that I experienced while I was here this time
was that the worship life is so alive and vital and wonderful. The matins and the younger people are profoundly talented, and if there's anything that older people like, is it younger people who have a passion, and that can go, that can really go a long ways for healing. And so,
yeah,
keep doing it.
I think the last thing is just to tell your story. We have done, you guys, and we as Poland have done an incredible amount of work. We've kept the program alive. We've kept the spark. We've buried how many thousands of feet of water pipe and power lines, and renovated Lodge 3. We have done an incredible amount, and it really, once we start telling our story of what we've accomplished and everything that happened, I think that a lot of things will fade away.
Would someone mind telling the story that they heard? Someone about the ESS worker observing things on Saturday.
That was me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they, and I don't know who it was, went up to one of the cooks on Sunday and thanked them. Wow, that must have been a lot of extra work, feeding all those extra people that came up for two meals within 4 hours. And the cook replied, "Oh, it's fine. We were ready. It worked out really well. But it looked like such a great family reunion. I've never seen so many hugs, one after." So he wasn't complaining.
So. Maybe one or two more questions. That's a good topic, though, that one.
Mm-hmm. I think just listening to that, I think one of the things that we could do would be to prepare some kind of a letter. That goes out with registrations that talks about a list of the projects that we have accomplished, and a list of the changes that you might expect to see, just so that people come in looking for the things that are somewhat hidden, and not expecting it to look like it did last time they were here.
The mill is gone.
That's a good suggestion.
But a suggestion about the list of projects that we've accomplished.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most of those are not visible.
Right.
How about billboards every...
Diesel generators,
Right.
I loved Darius's thing about get lost, and we could do a get lost in the changes, be able to talk about all the changes that happened.
Yeah. But Penny, as you talked about that, I shared with the board earlier this morning that I work at a children's hospital. We're very proactive in having children come to the hospital to see their family members, whether it's another child that is a patient or a parent or grandparent. And our child life specialists meet with the child before they go in the hospital room to tell them what they're going to see, ask any questions, and what might be scary to us of that a child should see someone on a ventilator. Actually, they're so focused on being with the person that is no longer scary because someone talked about it. And I think we as adults can learn from a similar approach.
You could do like what we've done, what has changed, and what you could expect to be the same. The heart of this place is the same. It's the same heart. The worship was fantastic.
Oh, wasn't it?
Yeah, I missed that. I didn't realize how much I missed that until I sat in it again. It's been way too long.
That's right.
We had 350 people in there, folks.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that was...
Go ahead. It was just very interesting, all that we learned just by listening to folks talk about that weekend with all those folks coming. You already heard one story. But this ties back to that earlier point about how for some people who've only been to Holden for 2 years and it's their first 2 years, this is their Holden. They're standing there watching as the three or four buses pulled in and those 150 guests got off. And a couple of the people who fell into that category said, "Oh my gosh, how in the world can you handle all those people coming in on one day?"
That's
the old villager said, "That's every Saturday." Every Saturday.
And a luggage truck to boot, usually. Last time we had
luggage.
I can remember at the beginning of this whole process, before Holden closed down to guests, or starting to close down to guests, and everybody was so concerned that, oh, if this goes... two summers were dead, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna wanna come back, and I think just the opposite is true for everything I've heard. So many people are just chomping at the bit to get back here. That they're actually, I think, gonna be really curious about the changes.
Yes.
And I think they're gonna wanna see. I think they'll be happy to come up here and
can
see all this stuff.
Leave people on a tour going
and I think they're really resilient too. I just, one little anecdotal story that I have from the reunion, I guess it was, the installation. There were a lot of people I wanted to talk to, and during the installation service, I saw Rich and Liz Kemmerer on the other side of the room. And I finally got up to Rich and I said, "Rich, isn't it great that we're in here? And look, the ceiling looks brand new. It looks like, because it's a ceiling, of course, and it doesn't even get dusty. Isn't that great?" And he says, "I want to talk to somebody about changing it. It's too old."
He's changed. One of the things I've been thinking about is, you know, everybody kind of talks about kind of what's their sense of Holden and what does, you know, real Holden look like, whether you were just here for the first time this year or 40 years ago. But I think one of the really kind of healthy things, which is hard about what we've been going through these last few years, is that it de-centers us. And what was our Holden and our wilderness, the work going on across the creek reminds us that it's not just ours, and this is about water that goes far beyond this village. And as awful as it might look to us now, I mean, that damage has been there for the last 70 years, and it's only now sort of being made in a really kind of harsh way visible, what it takes to fix that, which is actually what I was chatting briefly with our preacher on Saturday, and that's what she kind of says, well, this is what it takes. And it's healthy for us to be decentered in that way and remember our wonderful wilderness actually is something that was damaged, and we get to be part of the healing of it and part of the pain of that too.
One more question. I've been watching the clock for like 5 days, and they're tired of me doing it.
I don't know if I have a question, but a comment to say, as somebody who's relatively new, spending a year here, and Holden's still doing Holden.
Mm-hmm.
Healing still happens. Mm-hmm. You know, community is built, and it's transitional. It's always been transitional.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that what we're called to do isn't happening here. It's just happening differently. You know, and a small group of us have to, you know, some of them have been here a good long while and made a huge commitment to the place and should be commended for that.
Yeah.
So Holden's still doing what they always have done. You know?
That's the message that I tried to share that I kind of learned from staff is just, I don't know, it's like, I like that movie. Well, I like that movie and don't think that one's any good. I mean, we could say that about times at Holden, and you're just complaining about somebody else's perspective on something and valuing your own way more. And we just have to recognize Holden has been important to people from the time it started. And value other people's Holdens too. All right, I think we should call it an evening. We're here tonight, we're here tomorrow morning at breakfast, and most of us are heading out, but a few are sticking around, so.
We want to say thank you for all the hard work and sitting in meetings for hours and hours and listening, but being a part of this community during this time.
Thank you.
We'll be back.